You know, one of the things that marked the ministry of our Savior when he was here on the earth is that he tried to make things very easy for people to understand. And that's why so many times we find, as he taught the folks, he taught them using parables, stories about earthly things that people were familiar with, stories about farms and farmers, stories about sheep and shepherds, stories about families, dads and sons. Things that everybody understood, and as he was telling them the familiar stories, he was teaching them about God, about heaven, and about how we can come to God. And so this morning, I want to follow his example. I want to use something that everybody understands, and I want to talk to you about God. Brother Jeff, I'd like you to help me. Would you go right in there and just grab that door for me? Okay? I took it off the hinges. I was looking over there. I said, you know, I think one of the trustees put that door back on the hinges. I'm going to find out who that is and get him. But I took it loose. Brian, I need you to come up here and help me too, if you would. Brother Jeff, just take it right down there on the lower platform. And between you and Brian, I am going to turn it the other way. Turn it sideways. All right? So everybody's familiar with a door, okay? And we are going to have Brother Jeff be the, let's see, I need you guys to switch places. No. You know. Okay, that's good. It's hard to get good help these days. So, okay, we are going to, so in every door, when somebody comes to the door, there is a knocker, who I'm going to let be Brother Brian, and there is a knockee, the person who has the door, who has to listen to the knock and decide what they are going to do when somebody knocks. Of course, for doors, you know, especially the ones we have on our house, people come and knock on them. Sometimes family comes and knocks. Sometimes friends come and knock. Sometimes salesmen come and knock. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes the preacher comes and knocks. All right. And so what determines when somebody comes to knock at our door, what determines whether we're going to open it or not? Well, usually two things. First of all, who's knocking at the door? Now, this door doesn't have one, but most of the doors on the front door, at least, has, you know, that little hole you can look in and see who's knocking, and or a side pane and window by the door so you can look out and see who's knocking and see, determine if you're going to open it or not based on who it is. Or your estimation of what they want. I mean, if you see a salesman out there and you know it's a salesman, you might decide, I don't want to talk to them today, and so you don't open the door. Sometimes when the preacher comes and knocks on the door, you say, I don't want to talk to him either, and you don't open the door. But those two things usually determine whether we open the door or not, who it is, and what we think they walk. Well, we're going to use Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 for our text verse this morning, where Jesus stood before, or said that he stands at our doors, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So the knocker in that verse is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that made us. In John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so every single one of us were made by God. And we were made for a specific purpose. We were made to fellowship with God. Now, both you guys can hold that door so Brother Jeff doesn't get wore out, okay? So, but we were made for a purpose by God. We were made to fellowship with him. You go back and you read the first couple, three chapters of the book of Genesis. And by the way, I believe unashamedly in the first couple, three chapters of Genesis. I do not believe that we evolved from a single cell organism and, you know, evolved into who we are today. I have a lot of relatives like Uncle Paul, or like Paul, I mean, who I wonder about sometimes, but I'll tell you what, neither he nor I came from a monkey. Amen. We were made by God. And you go back and you read the first couple, three chapters of Genesis, and you'll find God fellowshipping with his creation, Adam and Eve, in their home in the Garden of Eden. But as we read that story, we see where something messed up that fellowship. And the something that messed up their fellowship was sin. Our forefathers ate the one fruit that God said, "This is mine, don't eat it, because the day that you eat it, you will die." And Adam and Eve took that fruit and they ate it. And the Bible says, because of that sin, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. It says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, and he drove out the man." And the fellowship that we were created for was broken up by our sin. Now God wants that fellowship back. But sin has a price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And a holy, righteous God cannot just overlook that sin. He cannot just say, "Well, it doesn't matter anymore." That sin has to be paid for. Now, the only way that we could pay for it ourselves is to just be separated from God forever. Because that's what that verse means. The wages of sin is death. It's separation from God. It's spiritual death. It's being separated from God while we're here, and it's being separated from God forever in that place called hell. Now, hell is real. Listen to me. Hell is real. It's a place of fire. It's a place of the bottomless pit. It's a place where the worm dieth not. But the worst thing about hell is God's not there. Jesus is not there. And we are forever separated from him. And that's the price we will pay for our sin. But God wanted that fellowship back. He knew we could not pay for it ourselves other than to be separated from him. And so he paid the price for us. He sent his only begotten son into the world, who went to a cross, who while he was on that cross paid for every one of my sins and paid for every one of your sins. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It says, "But God commendeth or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so there is a way back to God. There is a way back to that fellowship. There is a way back to that purpose for which we created. And that way is Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So Jesus comes. He comes to the door of every one of our lives. And he knocks on that door. And he says, "Open the door. Open the door. I will come in and sup with you and you with me." Now this morning I have a very simple message. I want to say four things about the knocker, and I want to say four things about the knockee. I want to say four things about the one who knocks at the doors of our lives, the doors of our hearts. And then I want to say four things about us. And so to help just get the picture, we're going to let Brian represent the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We're going to let Brother Jeff represent all of us. All right? And again, I want to say four things about the knocker and then four things about the knockee. Number one, talking about the one who knocks at the door. I want you to notice some things about him. Number one, I want you to notice he doesn't wait for us to come to him. He comes to us. We are not knocking at Jesus' door. Jesus is knocking at our door. You see, apart from him, we are dead in our sins. And death has no desire for life. We are dead in our sins. And once a person is dead, he has no desire for life. And so life comes to the door of the death. Life comes to the one who needs life and knocks on that door. He didn't wait for us to come to him. He came to us. Number two, a second thing I want you to notice about the knocker. He knocks. He knocks. He has the power to take the door down. If he wanted to, he could bust the door of every life down. He could force his way in. He could barge in. But he does not do that. He knocks. He knocks. And he waits for us to respond to that knock. He waits for us to open the door. And it's only when we open that door that the Savior comes in and sups with us and us with him. Third thing I want you to notice, he stands at the door and knocks. Start knocking, Brother Brian. That word knock is in the linear sense. It means he knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks. Now here's what we do. He knocks. He knocks. And he doesn't give up. He doesn't get impatient. It doesn't matter that we, you know, look around and see who's knocking and ignore him. It doesn't matter that we say, hey, go away. I'm not ready for you to be here today. Just go away and leave me alone. It doesn't matter. I don't know about you, but I did that one time to Jesus. He was knocking at my heart's door. And he was knocking and knocking and knocking. And I told him, no, not now. Come again another day. I don't want to open the door today. I'm not ready today. I don't need it today. And I told him to go away. I tried to drown out the knock that I was hearing. You know, when I sing to one of my little grandsons, Aaron, the three-year-old, he puts his hands over his ears like that. And sometimes we do that to Jesus. When he knocks at the door, we put our hands over our ears because we don't want to hear it. But it doesn't matter that we ignore him. It doesn't matter that we tell him to go away and come another day. It doesn't matter that we try to drown him out with other things. He knocks, and he knocks, and he knocks, and he doesn't quit. Okay, Brian, that's good. But not only that. Not only that, because that verse says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Not only does he knock at that door, but he calls out to us. And he says, Jeff, and by the way, he knows our name. Jeff, it's me. It's Jesus. I want to fellowship with you once again. That's why I went to the cross. That's why I died for your sins. I don't want this. I don't want this barrier between us. I don't want this sin between us. I paid for your sin. If you'll open the door, if you'll open the door, I will come in and we can fellowship once again. We can fulfill that purpose for which you were made. We can sit down and we can sup together and we can enjoy that fellowship. And so he comes to the doors of our lives and he knocks and he calls out to us and he begs us to let him come in. In John chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, the master is come and calleth for thee. Now again, that's in that story about Mary and Martha when Jesus came after Lazarus died. But that verse is true about every single one of us. Many of us have already responded to that knock and already responded to that call. But there was a time in our life when Jesus came. The Master is come. And he called us by name. And he knocked at our door. And you may be here this morning, you've never opened the door to Jesus. You've never accepted him as your Savior. He is calling you today. He is knocking at your door. He says, please, 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 let me come in. I want that fellowship back that you were made for. I want to give you that purpose back. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ, I want to say four things about you. And we're going to let Brother Jeff represent all of those that have never, ever received Christ. You see, Jesus only wants one thing. One simple thing. As he knocks and he calls, he wants us to open the door. That's all. Just open the door and let us come. Let him come in. Say, preacher, well, how do I open the door? I mean, I don't have a door on my heart. I don't have a door on my mind. How do we open the door? We open the door by asking Jesus to save us, by admitting that we're a sinner and that we need a Savior. So let me quickly say four things about the knockee. Brother Jeff, who represents all of us. Number one, we need what Jesus offers. Every single one of us need what Jesus offers. We all need the gift of salvation because we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, all of us are separated from God. And so we need what Jesus comes to offer. Number two, I want you to notice that every single one of us who stand on this side of the door that don't know Christ as our Savior, we know there's something missing in our life. We know. We may not be able to put it into words exactly what it is. But see, we were made to fellowship with God. And without that fellowship, there's just an empty spot in our life that can't be filled with anything else. People try to fill it up with all sorts of things. They try to fill it up with friends, and they try to fill it up with fun, and they try to fill it up with all that the world has to offer. But when they get to the end of all of it, they say, like Solomon, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's nothing in the world that fills up that spot in my life that longs for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not friends. It's good to have friends, but friends won't fill up that spot. It's good to have fun, but fun won't fill up that spot. There's nothing in the world that'll fill up that longing that we were made with, that we were created with, to have a relationship with God. Third thing I want you to notice about the knockee is that we hear the knock. We hear the call. We may act big and tough. We may say, oh no, I don't hear anybody knocking at the door of my life. I don't hear anybody calling my name. I don't hear anybody calling to say, let me in. I want to restore that fellowship that we lost because of your sin. I mean, there are some people say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. But if you pin down the atheist, even the atheist would say, I've heard the knock of God. I've heard the call of God. There are people that are called agnostics. They hear the call of God. It doesn't matter what on this side of the door we say about ourselves. You say, well, I'm a hard-hearted individual. I don't hear the knock of God. Or I'm a tough case. Sin, I'm a bad sinner. Jesus is not knocking on my door. And yet I've seen case after case after case after case. All sorts of people who say they don't believe in God, or they don't believe that he's interested in them, or that their sin is too tough. Every single one of them, whether they care to admit it or not, hear the knock, hear the call. The fourth thing, the last thing I'll say about the knockee is he has a simple choice to make. Simple choice. He hears the knock. He hears the call where Jesus says, it's me. I died for you. I paid for your sins. I want to restore what that sin cost you. Fellowship with me. If you'll just open the door. If you'll just open the door, I'll come in and we'll fellowship. I'll sup with you and you with me. And so, everyone that stands on this side of the door, simple choice. You're going to open the door, or you're going to leave it closed. It's your choice. It's that simple. Getting saved is not a hard thing. That's why Adam can preach to the juniors back in the fellowship hall. And those that are 5 and 6 and 7, 8 years old, they could understand that God loves them. And he wants to be with them. And because of sin, it breaks up that fellowship. But Jesus paid the price for sin. And if we ask him, he'll save us. We hear the knock. We hear the call. If we open the door, He will come in. He will come in. Okay, guys, you can just lean the door against the table there. And thank you. So, many of you here this morning are like me. We heard the knock. We heard the call. Maybe we didn't open the door the first time. Maybe Jesus had to stand there and knock for a while. I've shared my testimony with you. I was so shy. I just didn't want to walk down the aisle. I was afraid of being in front of people. I mean, I'd stand on the pew and I'd dig my fingernails into the pew and I would just shake like this because I knew I needed to go, but I was scared. And one day as I was leaving, my pastor said, "Daryl, don't you think it's time that you got saved?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Come with me." We went back into his office, got down on our knees, and I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. Many, many, many in this room, you have a similar testimony. It might not have been in the pastor's office. It might have been here at the altar. It might have been in your living room or in your bedroom where your mom or your dad, your grandpa or your grandma took the Bible and showed you that you were a sinner. But you heard the knock. You heard the call. You opened the door. And this morning, you're saved. Your sins are forgiven. You're dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And you're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. But there may be some here this morning, the door's still shut. You hear the knock. You hear the call. You need what Jesus offers. You have to make a simple choice. Will you open the door? Or will you leave it closed? This morning, I beg you, open the door. Let Jesus come in. Ask him to save you. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Would you do that this morning? He knocks. He calls. He's waiting on you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being a patient, patient God, for not giving up on us when we heard the knock the first time and left the door closed, for not getting impatient when we left it closed the second time and the third time and the fourth time. But you kept knocking and you kept calling and you kept knocking and you kept calling. And one day, many of us in this room, we opened the door and you came in and we fellowship together. Father, I pray for those in the room that have never done that. They've never asked Jesus to save them. Father, help them hear the knock this morning. Help them hear the call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Father, this morning, would you help them open the door? Would you help them just admit that they're a sinner and that there's a penalty for that sin? And Jesus, help them to understand that Jesus paid for every sin. And he offers to us life if we'd simply receive him. So I pray, Father, for those that are here that don't know Jesus, help them to decide right now to open the door and ask Jesus to save them. Please bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.